That being as mind, if we elucidate it even further, then is giving unto its idea the very basis of its intelligence, the very power of its intelligence, the very law and information of its intelligence. And it is preserving the basis of that intelligence. It is accepting and embracing the basis of that intelligence, the law and information of that intelligence. As I reason through what it is doing, yes, it is an exercise, but it is a very deep reasoning exercise in which I must listen very deeply from within myself for what that really means and what implications it really has. As I combine the elements and blend the elements of the seven in this exercise, I am doing it from the standpoint of life and love. I am doing it from the standpoint of the fatherhooding and motherhooding of that idea, and I am exploring, really, what the fullness of that idea by realizing that, in this instance, mind is eternalizing the very power of its intelligence. Isn't that incredible? It really implies that forever and always that idea will be imbued with the power of the intelligence of the mind that has brought it forth. That those qualities which exist within that divine subjective mind are given unto that idea. It is giving those qualities, the very law of its intelligence, the very power of its intelligence, the very information of its intelligence. It is giving those qualities unto its idea. And the motherhooding aspect is saying, and I hold that idea in its qualities. I tend it and nurture it with those qualities. So the motherhood is coming in and saying, and I accept mind's power of its intelligence. I tend that idea with the power of its intelligence. That idea is cherished and nurtured in the power of its own intelligence because mind itself is giving unto that idea the power of its intelligence and embracing and holding that idea within the power of that intelligence. And as these facts that are going on within being, as this law becomes very real to you, as you penetrate into the depths of what that means, and as you begin to feel what that means, we would call that flowing a law. Because flowing a law is more than just drilling the verbiage of the law. At first, yes, it may be necessary to drill as in an exercise, but I would ask you to drill with a lot of spirit and soul. I would ask you to drill with a lot of heart and inner feeling. I would ask you to drill with a deep desire to really know and feel and identify with the law at that point. Never be in a hurry to rush on to the next point. Better to stay with one point until it's full and rich and alive and moves you from within than to do a lot. Than to cover a lot of ground do a full exercise and say, well, I did my homework today. I drilled that whole law. I took it through the sevenfold aspect of mind and the sevenfold aspect of spirit and soul and principle and life and truth and love. And gee, I got it done in an hour and wow, I'm finished. Well, you're finished. Because it hasn't meant anything to you. Better to really feel and explore. What does it mean when that infinite mind is feeding unto itself the very substance of its intelligence, the very reflection of its ideas? Oh, wow. If it's giving unto its object, if it's giving unto its expression, the very substance of that intelligence, there's no way it could ever be giving it a material intelligence. No way it could ever be feeding it a human brain that's computing. No. That divine being is giving unto its idea what it is. Therefore, it is giving unto its idea the substance of its intelligence. The mind of that being is providing its expression with the substance of its intelligence. And it's accepting that. It's tending that. It's nurturing that. It's holding that. That substance of intelligence could never disappear, could never materialize, could never become something it isn't, because the motherhooding aspect holds it there, contains it there, and says, yes, I accept the substance of that intelligence within my embrace, and I just show it forth forever. It's wonderful. And that divine being, as mind, is giving forth unto its idea the very identity of its intelligence, the definition of its intelligence. It is giving unto its idea the ability to define its intelligence. You know, if it didn't do that, there would be no way that the idea could appear. There would be no way that intelligence could appear as ideas. There would be no way that that conception could identify itself. But that being loves its own objective state. It loves its ideas so much that it is giving unto that idea the soul of its mind. It is giving unto that idea the very identity of its intelligence. And please understand that I choose these numeral characteristics arbitrarily. You could focus, instead of on the intelligence of that mind, you could easily focus on the power of that mind, the information of that mind, the law of that mind, the basis of that mind. But for the sake of consistency right now, we'll just focus on the intelligence of that mind and the sevenfold nature of that intelligence. So that divine subjective being, as mind, is giving unto its idea the principle of its mind. It is giving unto its idea the very structure of its intelligence. It's wonderful. That mind has a structured intelligence. And it isn't selfish. It doesn't keep it unto itself. It gives it unto its expression, the entire structure of its intelligence. It gives unto its idea. And the motherhooding aspect says, and I hold it there. I preserve I just preserve the structure of that intelligence. So you can never have an unstructured intelligence in an idea. The idea always is preserved in the structure of its intelligence. Or could have been the system of its intelligence or the science of its intelligence. And that infinite being, that divine parent as mind, is giving unto its idea the very life of its intelligence, the very existence of that intelligence, the infinite, indivisible individuality of that intelligence. And the motherhooding aspect is saying, and I preserve the life of that intelligence. Incredible. You can never have an idea that is unintelligent. Because that intelligence doesn't disappear, it doesn't die, it doesn't finish, it doesn't end. That divine infinite being as mind is providing and preserving the life of its intelligence. The very ability to express that intelligence. And that divine parent is giving unto its idea the truth of its intelligence. It is giving unto its idea the very consciousness of that intelligence. You can never have a dormant intelligence. You can never have an unconscious intelligence. You can never have an idea that could say, I'm not conscious of my mind. I'm not conscious of my intelligence. I'm asleep to my intelligence. No. No. That idea is fully conscious of its intelligence, conscious of the ideas that are imbibed within its own mind. It's very exciting. And the motherhooding aspect is in there saying, and I preserve the consciousness of that intelligence. There's no way that that idea could ever be unconscious of its ideational intelligence. No. There's no way that it could have an unformed intelligence. No. It is always the optimum, always the ideal whole form of its intelligence, and that wonderful law in being which is saying, and I give that unto my idea, and I preserve that within that idea. And that divine, wonderful parent as mind is giving unto its idea the love of its intelligence, the very perfection of its intelligence, the purpose of that intelligence. It is giving its idea a very purposeful intelligence. So one could say from the human level, well, it just doesn't think for no reason. It has a goal within its ability to conceive. It has a goal within its ability to produce its ideas. It always knows what it's doing. It's an all-knowing intelligence. And it's perfect. Sorry. That is just one example of how you can flow this particular law. Obviously, if that parent is mind, that parent is also spirit, is also soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And each aspect of that being is giving unto that expression all that it is, and preserving for that expression all that it is. So, for the sake of elucidation, I think it would be nice to take one more run at least, so that you can get a deep feel for what that infinite being is doing within itself and what it is giving unto its idea. You, of course, in the quietude of your own sanctuary and your own being, whether you're in your home or walking through the beautiful trees or the countryside up here that you have in Jamestown, keep these ideas flowing within you. Keep pondering them and listening for them and feeling them and taking them in and identifying with them and recognizing that the counterfeit function could never happen. Think about it. If being as parent in its mindness is giving unto its idea the sevenfold nature of that mindness, it could never be robbing it of that nature. It could never be depriving that idea of that nature. It could never say unto its expression, I'll give you part of what I am, but I'm sorry, you can't have all of what I am. No. That being is so magnanimous that it gives unto its idea all that it is, and it preserves every quality within that idea. So if that parent were seen from the perspective of spirit, then that spirit would be providing its idea, let's say, with the order of its substance. Or we could have said, with the order of its reality. Or any combination of those numeral terms that you would like to focus on or that you feel to focus on at a given moment. The fact is that they're all happening simultaneously and they're all occurring all the time, whether we're flowing with it or against it. So that spirit is really giving unto its idea. Excuse me, I should have started with the mind aspect. See, it's a wonderful error-correcting system. It just corrects it as you go. That spirit is giving unto its idea the mind of itself, the intelligence of its substance. It's wonderful. It's giving its idea an intelligent substance, an ideational substance, and a very powerful substance. And it's preserving that intelligent, ideational, powerful substance for its idea. And it's giving unto its idea, as we said before, the order of that substance, and it's preserving that idea in the order of its substance. Never for an instant could it deprive that idea of the order of its substance, or would it ever be tempted to. That infinite divine parent as spirit is giving unto its idea the very identity of its substance and preserving the identity of that substance. I'm going quickly. I'm spelling out the exercise for you. But when you do it, don't race ahead like this. Sit with each thing and ponder what it means, and love it, and adore it, and let it elucidate itself for you. With some, you'll sit a long time, and they'll be very welcome, like at a tea party. And for others, it won't be so necessary that particular day, and you'll sit just a short time, have a short conversation with them. But let your inner being tell you which it is. It'll make all the difference. That divine parent, as spirit, is giving unto its idea the very structure of its substance, and it's preserving that structured substance as idea. That divine being, as parent, as spirit, is maintaining and sustaining its idea with the life of its substance. The very existence of that spiritual substance. It is giving unto its expression the very existence of its spiritual substance. How could it ever lack? It gives it every bit of that living substance that it has. It gives unto its idea every facet of it, every factor of it, every ounce of it, if it could be weighed and measured. It doesn't hold back any of the life of its substance for that idea. And it preserves the life of that substance. It nurtures it and tends it and accepts it and embraces the life of that substance. And that divine parent as spirit is pouring forth for its idea the very consciousness of its substance. All of its substance. And it is accepting the consciousness of that substance for its idea. That idea could never be unconscious of its spiritual substance. It could never think that it was comprised of material substance. It could never feel itself to be aware of a material substance, because that idea is clothed and held in the consciousness of its spiritual substance. And that divine parent, as spirit, is giving unto its idea the very perfection of its substance. And it is preserving for that idea the very perfection and purpose of its substance. That divine spirit could only give unto its idea a very unified, integrated substance. Could never, never give it a disunified, imperfect substance. Could never allow the unification of its substance to explode, to get lost, to disappear, to dissipate, to be annihilated. No. That divine parent of spirit is always preserving the perfection, the ultimate, the optimum of its substance, of its spiritual substance. The more you think, the more you ponder, the more you allow spirit itself to elucidate for you its sevenfold nature, and further, to allow this particular law to hold you in its grasp, to allow you to flow with it, the more blessed you will be. We have gone through an exercise with mind through the seven, spirit through the seven, but you know you're not confined to that. Please, when you go home, experiment. Don't be afraid. The mind that elucidated the law unto Mrs. Eddy, unto John Dorley, unto Max Kapler, unto me in the form of this exercise, is the same mind as your mind. It doesn't take favorites. It doesn't elucidate itself to one and not to all, because you've just seen that it encompasses all within its embrace. It wouldn't favor one aspect over another. If it speaks to one, it speaks to all. If it elucidates for one, it elucidates for all. It is not just my mother, it is your mother. And that mother loves you. That mother loves you so much that with all of its divine heart, it wants you to feel embraced in its matrix. It wants you to feel the provision of its inner being as your inner being. It wants you to realize that you're preserved within its being, within the embrace of that being. Never for an instant can you be outside of that. Everything in that being, if it is giving unto its idea, is giving on the next level, which we'll come to in a moment. It's giving unto you. Because you're not outside of that idea, you're a facet and an aspect of that idea. So as it gives all that it is unto its idea, it is giving all that it is unto you. It doesn't withhold a bit of it, not a piece of it, not an ounce of it, not a trace of it. It withholds nothing. And it holds you in there. It embraces you in there. It nurtures you and cherishes you and accepts you and gives unto you everything that it is. So believe me, there isn't a way in the world that it will withhold from you the secrets, quote-unquote, of its being. It won't withhold from you the entirety of its being. So please, have courage. Just dig in and go through the fact that soul is providing the whole sevenfold nature of its being for its idea and preserving that. And principle is giving unto its idea the sevenfold nature of its being and preserving it. And life is giving unto its idea the sevenfold nature of its being and preserving it, cherishing it. And truth is giving unto the idea the sevenfold nature of truth and its caring for it and preserving it as well. And love is giving unto the idea the sevenfold nature of love and preserving for its idea all that it is, because all we've done is put that wonderful divine being in its matrixized form through this magnifying glass to see what it's comprised of, And therefore, if it functions in a particular manner as a whole, it functions in the same manner in all of its parts. So if the divine being is giving unto its idea all that it is, then mind is giving unto its idea all that it is, and spirit is giving unto its idea all that it is.